everybody, and welcome to the Good Anime Palette Podcast. This is episode 3. My name is Jason, I'm your co-host, and I am joined, as always, as usual, with Will. Will, what's up, Beth?
I'm a bit tired, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
It's been a very eventful weekend.
Yeah.
Just celebrated my birthday.
So yeah, baby!
Yeah.
Happy birthday!
I'm finally not a man.
Well, technically, it's not your birthday anymore.
No. That was yesterday, literally 24 hours ago. But it's been a good start so far, and it's good to get back into the studio just to, you know, keep up with the anime, the vibes.
I like how you say this is a studio.
We make do what we have, right? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, a shanty is a castle to some people. You know.
Oh wow! So philosophical, man.
Yeah.
Now that you're of that age now,
you know how yesterday everybody was egging me drop the 30 phrases of wisdom. I guess I came a little bit late, but you can take that one.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure. I'll remember to let everyone else know your pearls of wisdom.
Yes. So yeah. Outside of weekend festivities and all that, I think we've been keeping busy.
Very, very busy, yeah.
On top of watching the seasonals, catching up on, you know, shows that we've got going on the last couple of weeks, I believe that, Jason, you've been watching a few things on the side.
So,
you incognito mode your anime viewing.
Yeah, okay, so for listeners who are unaware, last episode, when we were compiling the docket for that episode, Will informed me that he is watching a show in secret and would not tell me what it was until day of recording. That revelation ended up being Anohana, which is an anime that I've been meaning to watch for a long time and is very good. I know, I mean, I don't know for sure, but I know lots of good things about it, and Will said many good things about it. So, yeah, okay, Will.
It was a fantastic show. Just to see the conflicted elation, but also kind of betrayal on your face. It was so sweet.
Oh, it was there. So then, right away, I was...
Your brain started clicking, you know?
Yeah, I was like, I need to plan some way to get back at Will.
Yeah, so I only watched one show. Albeit a very, very good show.
The mystery show, right?
Yes.
But your boy, Jason, didn't watch one mystery show. Didn't watch two. Basically watched three, kind of watched four shows. And I'm going to talk about them, and Will has no idea, other than the quantity that I'm going to talk about. Like the quantity of animes I'm going to talk.
You mentioned that at least two of them was on Netflix, right? Two shows on Netflix, and one of them was on Crunchyroll?
You'll find out when I say them, right, buddy?
Okay, all right.
Okay, but before we get to my picks, let's talk about the ones that we watched together. How about that?
Yeah, so you know, we still keep up with the seasonals. So when it comes to the stuff like Jujutsu Kaisen, stuff like Attack on Titan, at least for me.
Horimiya for me.
Dr. Stone as well.
Yep.
You know, the things are still rolling along, still really
good. It's almost coming to an end, the season.
I think we're only... three episodes away from most shows.
Two
to three. And then we'll be starting to roll out the spring seasons.
In April, yeah, that's correct.
So,
I mean, some last week of March, I think, but more or less it goes full force when in April.
So three more weeks of seasonals, and then it's time to clean the slate and pick up some new shows.
Yeah, so the stuff that we've been watching together, other than at least that we want to highlight, I think the first one, let's start off with... the artsy fartsy one, but actually I liked it a lot, is Puparia.
That one was it was gorgeous. It was really weird. Weird.
It is very weird.
Kind of hard to figure out what the story was, but
no story.
I don't think the story is supposed to be the focus anyway.
It's like aesthetics.
The art was gorgeous.
So what Puparia is essentially an indie anime film, right? And I wouldn't even call it a film per se. Because it's an anime film short.
It was only 3 minutes long.
Yeah, 3 to 4 minutes long. And you can watch it on YouTube, completely legal, completely free, on the director's YouTube channel.
We can even put like the link in the description as well if people want to check it out. I think it's really worth checking out.
And it is eerie. There is not much else to say. I mean, you can just finish watching it within 5 minutes. you should watch it. It's good. It's not like earth shattering, but it is pretty cool.
It's cool to see that, you know, outside of the, you know, the mainstay productions, the stuff that, you know, you would expect to be high quality, to be done on like an indie budget, on an indie schedule, was really refreshing to see that we're not just, you know, watching stuff that is licensed for 12 or 24 episodes. No, this is just a director that wanted to do something that was, you know, different from what's already out and just showcasing his own artistic ability.
Yeah, and then he should be rewarded, and you guys should check it out. So I'll probably put the link in the description, and you guys can check it out. And we did, and we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was good. Now, one other show that we also recently started watching.
Oh, here we go.
That's is on Netflix, and I think I only really got into it because you, Jason, mentioned that you had been reading a few chapters of the
a few volumes.
Yeah, a few volumes. Okay.
Yeah.
Because the chapters are extremely short, right? It's like 10 or 12 pages per chapter?
That's correct.
And so it's extremely fast-paced. So the show we're talking about is High Rise Invasion that just started actually rolling out a week ago?
Last week. Yeah, I think it's like 25th of February, something like that.
End of Feb.
Yeah, and we mentioned last episode that it was going to come out, so then we would check it out, and we did. And long story short, do not check it out.
It was really weird because I did read like one or two chapters, like just to see.
Oh, you did?
I read like just very, very quickly just to see how it compared. Because after watching the first episode, I then read the two chapters and I could see what you meant in that it's fast paced, but like it was kind of like the characters delivering on the plot, whereas this one was kind of just like it seemed like a mess.
Okay, so High Rise Invasion is an anime that came out a week ago. It is done by which studio? I don't remember.
I actually don't remember which studio it was.
I think it was someone who didn't have a lot of resume. But the manga has been long running for, I think the 17th, 18th volume omnibus is coming out this month or next month. But what I would say is that the anime is about literally a girl wakes up and then she is in an unknown area, unknown place. And somehow all these people wearing kind of jester masks are killing people left and right. And she's just trying to parse out what is going on, trying not to get killed. And it's very action, very kinetic, heavy anime manga series.
Literally, it's like, it's High Rise Invasion, right? They're on skyscrapers.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say that. Yeah. Yes.
They're just on top of buildings and trying to escape from murderous psychopaths.
And they're all connected by bridges.
Yeah.
But not like flimsy jungle bridges, that kind of thing. So the reason why I quite like the manga is because the manga is very kinetic. As you said, it's like 10, 12 pages per chapter. So it really felt like you were blazing through this, just like how the kinetics and motion of the main character is blazing through, like trying to figure things out, being on quick on her toes, quick on her feet, quick on her mind. And the manga does something that the anime doesn't do well, which is the internal monologue of the main female character. Because in the manga, I can say with 100% certainty that the woman, I forgot her name, I guess that tells you how memorable she is. But she is very smart. She is very cognizant of the situation that she's in. And as someone who is in that situation, what you would try to do, what you would likely do, what you can do. And she goes about certain things in a very logical and sometimes very smart way. However, in the anime, they actually did not include almost any of the monologue that the manga had.
Yeah, it made the MC look very weak
and dense.
It just seemed like when you take away all that inner dialogue, that a lot of the stuff that she was doing was very reactionary and it wasn't necessarily like the right decisions. Whereas when you're reading the manga, you can see like the thought process that goes into making certain decisions. And like that's the kind of thing you would appreciate. Like it doesn't make it like a masterpiece, but at the very least, like when you can see method to the madness, it's a little more enjoyable. Whereas this was just basically like trying to, I guess, go for shock value.
And except the shock value is how shockingly bad this anime is.
It wasn't great.
I mean, I think we've said several times for certain shows, you're better off reading the manga. I really don't like using that kind of argument. But if you really want to understand why High Rise Invasion should be on your radar or why it even got an anime adaptation in the first place, it behooves, I think, everyone to just at least check out the first volume and then you'll understand not only the premise, the way that it's thought out, the kineticness. You can get everything out of the series as it's meant to be, that the anime tries, sometimes even doesn't try to portray at all.
Man, it's almost like we actually have a whole main discussion topic planned out to talk about this very situation, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, so we, outside of watching High Rise and outside of checking out Puparia, there was another seasonal, which, you know, I guess really through our own fault that we haven't really been keeping up with.
Until now.
Until now, Wonder Egg Priority. So we've talked about how the show is quirky, insane, but also very colorful. It's done by Cloverworks, so it's doing very, very good work this season. And we were probably thinking, well, you know, like maybe with these sort of episodic episodes where like everything is kind of self-contained, you know, maybe we don't necessarily need to stay up to date. We can always go back to watching it at later points. So we decided it's been about a month and a half since we last watched Wonder Egg. Why don't we just pick it up again? Man, have we missed out on so much good anime.
God damn. It's so good.
It's still weird and quirky, but like
it's mysterious. A lot of things don't make sense. In fact, the last episode made I guess you can call it a recap episode.
It's like Inception meets Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah, I think that's in of itself a little bit of a spoiler.
But I think like
that, okay, if that gets
should,
you,
that should be like if that's the kind of premise you'd be open to check out, do it.
Yes, it is not what it appears to be. I'll just say that. So that's how I would definitely say that.
We'll say one thing. Yeah. Again, this is going against what I do with my anime viewing. I watch every single opening. The OP is amazing.
The OP, the opening and the ending theme is really good.
It's a very well put together show. As much as it's like crazy and chaotic, like
and dark.
It's very dark, but very colorful at the same time. I like the contrast they do with like the themes and the color palettes.
Oh, it's cute girls doing cute things.
Oh my
right?
God, what the fuck are they doing? Oh shit. Did we just holy crap.
Mother, oh God.
I love the show.
That's exactly what... I think our expressions, we were just in disbelief.
We were just thinking, hey, let's just catch up one episode. And I was like, no, we gotta watch more.
We're going to more. let's watch more. And there's like, oh, there's no more. Crap.
So we gotta wait. Wait, Wonder Egg Tuesday or Wonder Egg Wednesday?
It depends on which time zone, yeah. But it would be Wednesday for us.
Okay.
Wednesday morning, we would have received it.
Yep. Okay. Wonder Egg. Okay, so we've talked about the stuff you've been watching this season, stuff that's not really like, you know, a crazy secret. Now we are going to talk about some of the secret shows, the incognito shows that we've been watching.
All right, well, lay it on me. What you watch?
So I actually watched two shows.
Yeah, okay.
But one of them, I don't know if I'm going to be like rushing to finish.
Mm-hmm. You can talk as much as or little as you want, man.
Yeah, I only watched two episodes of it so far.
It's a safe space. Safe space.
So I was watching Spice and Wolf.
Yeah?
Yeah, just to see what it's all about, because it kept on popping up on my Netflix feed again.
Do you like economy, Will? Do you like trading?
Yeah.
Do you like cute wolf character that is also crazy?
OP.
Yes.
It was interesting. I do like the premise of the show. I think it's just because that watching the first couple episodes, when you're sort of laying out the world and trying to build characters, it does take a little bit of time to flesh out.
Yeah.
So I think it's 24 episodes total, or is it 25 episodes per season?
I think it's 12-12.
12-12, yeah.
But what's it about, Will, for those uninitiated, if you had to describe it?
So it's about a traveling salesman that goes from town to town selling wares and purchasing shit. And then he goes upon a town where, you know, known to most people, there is a weird supernatural creature.
It's a deity.
A deity, basically, that basically, you know, blesses the land and helps them to grow crops, which then means that they have a very fruitful harvest.
Correct.
But every time, they're always like, oh, we need to find this deity. It's going, and they have these little, like, I guess kind of like witch hunts, and they try to find it, and then they never find it. And then until one day, the guy in the back of his caravan, he's got like a bunch of wolf skins, like a lot of wolf pelts. And then he starts hearing like a murmur, and he opens up the back of his caravan, and he finds the deity herself sleeping in his caravan.
Yeah. I also want to reiterate that, okay, this sounds like a romance, kind of like, what would you say the setting is, like European,
very European,
19,
yes.
Like, no, not like
the 18s,
yeah. Yeah, like where like carriages and all that stuff, like I would say though the anime is very dialogue heavy and actually talks about trading and economics, and
it's a little bit dated, I guess, because like the last season came out in 2009, so it's well over 12 years ago.
I still think it looks gorgeous.
It still looks great. It definitely looks great. I can understand where, like, if people wanted to watch stuff that is more contemporary, like more within like the last year or two, like, that maybe that Spice Wolf isn't high on your list. But I think for me, it's because of the fact that with Netflix, I've already watched like half of the anime catalog. The other half is just whether I get round to watching it. So
and Spice and Wolf is sort of well known as a classic of sorts.
It's a change of pace for me compared to like watching like Code Geass and Dorohedoro on Netflix. It's nice to be able to just sit back and just enjoy a story like slowly laid out to you, and you just, you know, appreciate the world that is Spice and Wolf. Very different from the other show that I've been watching, which I think I will be watching more of. Mm-hmm. I'm about halfway through now.
Yes.
Now this is a show that I've had on my to watch list for the longest time, and you've actually been pushing me to watch it because the OP, the opening song.
Know exactly. Okay, wait, hold. Can I just say it? At least my guess right now. You have not prompted me or anything, right?
No.
Is it Erased?
It is Erased.
Yes!
Erased.
I knew it!
It's so good. Erased is amazing. So it's essentially about a show where he's not clairvoyant. He has like a kind of, you know, weird ability where like if he senses trouble or like a disturbance related to someone nearby him, that he's able to, I guess, manipulate time, and using that time he's able to save said person or prevent said disaster. Something major happens to him. And then that means that rather than going back a couple minutes, which is what his power usually does, yeah, he sends him back to when he was a child. And he has to relive everything step by step in order to save that one person, to recorrect everything back to the present day. And there's a lot of things that happen. It's almost kind of like a Groundhog Day kind of situation, but like there's a lot of
twists. It only happens once, though.
Yeah, really? Okay. So I've only got up to the point, I'm on episode 4.
Okay.
So I haven't seen the full thing yet, but it's only 11 episodes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, it's really good. A lot of people have gripes with the ending. I personally think it was okay. I think everything leading up to it was also extremely well done.
Yeah.
There are certain scenes that I will all, that has cemented in my memory till the end of days.
So what I actually did was, as I finished reading, I finished watching each episode, I actually bought the manga.
Yeah.
I actually bought the manga so that I can read it like page by page, episode by episode. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it matches up. The reason why I did this, though, is because, as Jason was alluding to, there are a lot of discussion boards that talk about how certain episodes within the series diverges completely differently from the original source. So then it's almost anime original. Is it anime original, or is it just like reinterpretation of the events?
I think it's reinterpretation.
Right. So that's why I wanted to see like how different it was. So far, like episode to episode, chapter to chapter, it's been matching up pretty well. But I'm only like 4 episodes in.
Right. Okay, so that's what you've been watching, Will, huh?
Not heavy punches, right? Like,
no.
I told you this is a show that you knew about and you've been pushing me to watch it. So now that I am watching, how do you feel?
I will only say this. When you know, you let me know, because you will know when to contact me to gush over something that has happened.
Okay.
But I also will ask you, the opening's pretty cool, right? The opening credits is pretty good, right? Like, the song is not only pretty good. It's Re-Re by which band, Will? Which is your favorite band, Will? Come on, just help me out here.
Asian Kung Fu Generation.
Yes, that's correct. And the song is called Re-Re, or R-E-R-E. I really like that song. I really like that opening.
R-E colon R-E?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, wow. You're being that kind of guy today, huh?
Hey, man, English teacher, Will.
Okay, so... Don't you think it's good? I like that song a lot.
Yeah, I think I didn't really expect too many crazy surprises, right? I mean, of course, like, you probably wouldn't have expected me to watch Spice and Wolf, but Erase, like, you've been egging me to watch it for a while.
I will tell you this. Be sure to continue watching the opening. I'll just say that.
Fuck, okay.
Don't skip the opening.
That is some cryptic shit, Jason. I don't like that, but I will. I will watch
I'm not him. Lying. I'm not trolling. Okay. Do not skip the opening. You will understand.
This is some reverse psychology shit.
No,
right?
It's not reverse psychology.
Okay.
I mean, you can check after the fact, but you will kick yourself for not doing it.
Okay, I will pay attention then. Yeah. I don't skip it, but sometimes I just listen to the music.
You're still in the safe zone.
Okay. 4 episodes in, I'm still like a decent chunk away.
Yeah, before things
I'm still change. Safe. I'm still safe.
You're safe.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Hit me, Jason. Come on.
I watched 3/4 things.
So when you say /4, do you mean that you completed 3 and like are in the midst of finishing a 4th one?
No, as in one of them were 2 seasons and I finished both seasons.
I have a feeling I know what that one is.
Which is?
Is it set in a high school?
Yes, it is set in a high school.
Is the main character a black-haired girl named Jabami?
Yes, it is.
Oh my god, it's fucking Kakegurui, isn't it?
I watched.
I don't know how I managed to guess it when you said it was a 2-season episode.
So, listeners, my first mystery anime that I watched is the first and second season of an anime called Kagegurui.
Compulsive Gambler.
Also known as Compulsive Gambler. And how that story takes place is in a high school. The main character is a woman. And this high school is any normal high school, except when class is over... It becomes a gambling den, and
high society gambling den.
This all is not, rich kids.
This is not some back alley playing like craps and shit. No, this
like
is...
millions of yen spent in like one go.
Oh man!
And then not only that, there's a social hierarchy where if you don't earn enough money, you will be like branded literally as an animal, as a pet.
Like you become someone's dog.
Yeah. Literally and figuratively. And this main character, Jabami, basically throws it all upside down.
Best girl, by the way. Best girl.
Very best girl. 100%. If you want to talk about non-battle shonens. So basically, people duking it out, but in a non-actual battle, fisticuffs, weapon way. And also watch just human depravity at its finest. You owe it to yourself to watch Kagegurui.
You would say that the characters in the show really love gambling, right? Like, they love gambling.
They love gambling to the point some of them reach a certain state of mind, let's just say.
Yeah, nirvana.
Yeah, sure. That's how I would say it, too, I guess.
It's a good show.
It's a very good show.
Both seasons are on Netflix.
Both seasons are on... Except the end of the season 2, I have to talk to you, Will, about this, is that did you know that the last... 2 episodes were anime original.
I know that at the time, the reason why we haven't seen a new season come out is because the anime caught up to the manga.
It is based on a manga.
Yeah, there's actually not a lot of manga right now, which is also why recently There have been live action adaptations of the manga, both as a TV series as well as a movie. And so people were wondering, well, what's going on? Is it because now they're changing the direction from doing anime adaptations to a live action? No, it's just because there's actually not enough material. That's it.
So right.
Now that you mention it, that does make sense.
And also, there was one particular character throughout season two, which becomes the main villain in the last couple of episodes. She is actually not in the manga as well.
Yeah.
And some of the events that happen in the anime got shifted, rearranged, basically.
It's still good, though.
Extremely good. I love it. I gave it 4.5 or out of 5, 9 out of 10. I had so much fun. It was
wacky.
Great.
It's wacky as shit.
I wouldn't call it that, but yes, it is also that.
Okay, so it's funny that all you had to say was there were two seasons, and I was able to guess what it was.
So, okay, let's see how good you are with this second one.
Okay.
So there is only one season. There's only 12 episodes of it. You might say, I've been meaning to watch this for a long time. I think you would probably want to watch this too. And I pulled the trigger on it.
I haven't watched it. Okay, because when you said 12 episodes, it's definitely not Devilman Crybaby because that's got 10 episodes.
I pulled the trigger on it. I watched BNA, Brand New Animal. So, BNA, known as Brand New Animal.
I watched one episode of it, by the way.
Yeah, you did? Oh, yeah, that's great.
I watched one episode.
I watched all of those episodes. It is an anime that is made by one of my favorite studios, Studio Trigger. And it is an anime, you know, it reminds me of a video game called Detroit. Detroit Become Human?
Oh, yes.
Which is basically...
Which I haven't finished yet.
Yeah, which is pretty good. Mm. But Detroit Become Human is very similar in that it is about androids.
It's like an adventure storytelling kind of format, right?
Right, but the story is about an androids in a future society that looks exactly like humans. And, you know, like this, and it ends up being like this discriminatory thing and back and forth. So if you replace that...
With Animorphs,
with Zootopia, basically.
Zootopia, yeah, yes, exactly that.
So you are in BNA, Brand New Animal, you are in a society where humans coexist with werebeasts, which are humans that can also transform into their respective beast-like animals. And it talks about the main female character, sort of, she was a human, and now she is this werebeast and trying to go to this city called... Anima City, which is a safe haven for all these werebeasts, and trying to find a new life and figure out what's wrong with her. And I watched all 12 episodes. I will say this. I rarely say these things about anime. I think Studio Trigger now, if they do not produce a series that is over one cur, which is 12 episodes, it needs to be... 16 to 20 episodes. If it does not have that, I will still watch it, but I don't think it would be that good.
So what was your personal observation? 12 episodes? Because for me, I watched one episode, and it wasn't like I dropped it. It was more just that there wasn't enough for me to keep watching it, hence I went to other shows.
So the furry thing is actually not a big deal.
Right.
Because they also turn into humans, and they turn into beasts. It's actually more bloody than I thought.
Is it? Okay.
And actually has a lot of action. It's very kinetic, very Kill la Kill, Gurren Lagann kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And it is... But the ideas are either not fleshed out enough, or all of a sudden, the first six episodes are very, introducing the city, introducing the slice of life-ness of it. Then all of a sudden, the last six episodes is... balls to the wall, bad guy shows up, and then everything gets resolved really fast. Everything just... they need more breathing room. And the dynamic duo of the two main characters, the guy and the girl, they didn't have enough time to shine. And they have enough, though, for you to be like, well, this is really good. But it kind of felt wasted because it just wasn't... They needed more episodes. They definitely needed more episodes. The pacing was really weird.
Yeah, 12 episodes is quite short. But then again, like, we've seen certain shows that, I mean, for example, like Anohana was 12 episodes.
I mean, Little Witch Academia, right? Which is also done by Studio Trigger. I think that that is, that 24 episode thing was very appropriate.
Yep.
But would you agree that Little Witch Academia, in the beginning, there were like slice of life stuff, very slow paced, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it just becomes super action-packed. The villain all of a sudden shows up, and then all of a sudden, like, new factions show up, things happen, and then all of a sudden it ends.
Do you think it might just be, like, a trigger thing?
I think so, but with Kill la Kill, with Little Witch Academia, and obviously Gurren Lagann is, like, a half thing because it's
you
made by Gainax.
You other ones, too, right? Like Kisniver?
So that's the other thing that reminded me of this deficiency. Mm. I think Kisniver is exceptional. Not a lot of people will agree with me on that. I do agree, though, that if it had more episodes, it would legitimately be exceptional. And the only reason why I say it's exceptional now is because either I'm going against all the hate that it gets, or because I could see how good it could have been.
Sometimes I wonder, though, whether it's... I mean, I have no idea how big Studio Trigger is, but I don't think they're working with a lot of equity, which means that for a lot of the stuff they do, them being most of the time originals... It's hard for them to dedicate like a large lump sum of money.
And it just so happens that we're talking about this very topic in the main discussion topic. It's almost like I planned it like that.
Yeah. Good thinking.
Okay, so...
What's the last show?
All right. This last show is actually not a show.
It was a movie?
It is a movie. Will?
Did you watch a Satoshi Kon movie without me?
Nope.
Okay, what did you watch? Is it another?
You don't like you don't watch a lot of anime movies, Will, right?
No, no.
You should though, right?
I should, but
you want to, but you just don't have like.
It's not my style.
Exactly, I agree with you that it's not your style. Nothing wrong with that, but that's just the way it is. But what happens when you need to watch a movie in order to watch the TV show afterwards?
Did you watch Demon Slayer Mugen Train without me?
Hold on, just give me a sec. Yes, I did watch Mugen Train. Look at Will, oh my god, you got, oh my god, look at Will's face. Oh, it's so good.
You piece of shit.
Yeah.
How God fucking damn it. You actually went out and bought... I told you that one day, too. You were like, oh, what movies are playing? Because I was watching a movie the other day. It was like, oh, you know that Demon Slayer is still running a movie? It's like, oh, really? Is it really running? And then fucking... That was the day before or after I watched a movie in the cinema, too. You absolute...
Yeah. Oh, wow. There was only two people in the theater, me and this other girl.
Wow. You just done me dirty, dude.
It doesn't feel good, does it?
No.
Hey, number one box office movie of all time.
Wait, did you watch that movie with your lab partner?
Nope.
Okay. Because I remember you said your lab partner.
No, was... I was watching it solo by myself.
All right. There just happened to be another person there. Wow. Shit.
I watched the 11 a.m. show, so literally no one was there except me and this other person.
That actually hurts.
A little bit, doesn't it?
That actually does.
What I will say, though, is movie's really good. Movie's pretty good.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet a movie that had just, you know, smashed box office records and up-paced fucking Spirited Away is the number one movie, the Japanese movie of all time.
Yeah, it's the number one movie of all time.
And you watched it without me.
Bro,
what am I to you now? Is this what it
hey,
is?
Hey, you watched Anohana to me now.
Hey, but that's different, though.
Yeah,
that's different.
How's that?
Because that movie came... Not that movie. That series came out 10 years ago. And I thought it'd be funny to surprise you with it.
Hey.
You did this to spite me.
Demon Slayer Mugen Train came out 10 weeks ago.
And we were talking about watching it on your birthday, but COVID happened. You're like, yeah, you know what? Let's just wait till it's safe. And you went and did the very thing you said not to do.
I mean, I'll watch it again. 100%.
Is it even still showing in Hong Kong?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, let's... Okay, before
I'll watch it with you on the weekend. Sure, let's do this.
We may, because this actually... blends well into our news segment.
Okay, okay. So before we do that, though, the movie is really good. You have to watch it because season 2 is coming out, and unfortunately, for better or for worse, if you do not watch this movie, a lot of things do not make sense. I have read the manga from beginning to end, so I do know what was covered in the movie.
Faithful?
Very faithful. Animation is absolutely gorgeous. At first, I thought, why are some of my friends who finished watching the movie said that they cried? I teared up at one particular point. It was really good. The music is really good. The graphics is really good. Everyone had their time to shine. It was nice. It's nice.
Yeah, I'm glad you had a good time, buddy.
I did have a great time. I even got two posters.
What?
Because I was one of two people that showed up for the showing. I was going to bring it, but then I realized that like if I were to show it to you, you might just rip it up. So then I'm just going
to
leave it
at
home.
I wouldn't do that to you. I'm not that salty. I'll just go home and...
Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
I did have a good birthday. This is actually really fucked up, Jason.
All right, let's go to news, guys. Oh, let's go to news.
I actually want to cry. You watched Demon Slayer without me?
Okay. The listeners are not like focus. The listeners. Okay. Do you want to take a break? We could take a break.
No, the listeners don't care about my pain. It's okay.
Do you want to take a break? We could take.
No,
a break.
I will entertain.
Okay.
I will power through.
Dance,
this.
Monkey, dance.
I am a strong man. I can do this. On to the news section.
Are we gonna break up like Daft Punk after 28 years?
Dude, okay, yeah. So that's actually like a whole different sad, right? Because. It's funny that we're talking about Daft Punk whilst covering like an anime podcast, but did you remember, I forgot which music video it was, I think it was Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger?
No, it was a series of them, because it was called Intergalactic like 45 or something like that.
And they were really dope. The collection of music videos is really cool, and like, whatever stuff they did too.
It was very anime-focused, basically.
Yep. Well, if you guys don't know Daft Punk, they are a French electronic music duo that came out, that started up like back in 1982, 1983, basically around the time when I was born. They're done. They've called it quits. They've taken off their helmets and they said that, you know, au revoir. This is the end of Daft Punk.
I really like Daft Punk. I love EDM. So it's really unfortunate to have like the duo breakup and to have those kinds of music videos with very anime focused, and it felt like a love letter to anime. It really did. And it's just unfortunate. But
I would want to pick their brains and see what their top like anime films or anime like shows would be.
Sure. Do you think one of those films could be Ghost in the Shell?
It could be. I hope so. I was actually thinking more like Paprika or Perfect Blue.
Oh yeah, that actually makes a lot more sense.
They would probably. I can pretty much guess that one of them is a Toshi Khan fan for sure. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Ghost in the Shell, so I might be annoyed that I didn't watch Demon Slayer with you, but I am happy that there was an announcement for Hong Kong, that Ghost in the Shell is coming back. Not with like a new series or a new movie, but they're actually going to do a 4K remaster showing in Hong Kong.
We also want to be explicitly crystal clear. This is not the live action movie 4K remaster, but the original anime movie Ghost in the Shell.
Yep. So, sorry if you wanted to see more Scarlett Johansson. You'll have to wait for Black Widow to come out, whenever that is.
April?
They actually have a confirmed date.
Think so.
Okay. Because honestly, like, I haven't really seen many movies come out.
Mm-hmm.
You have. Mr. Demon Slayer, you. But it's cool. I think it's cool that like you're getting these remasters, 4K remaster too. So it's funny because like for you, you've watched pretty much everything Ghost in the Shell related, right? You've watched Arise. You've watched Standalone Complex.
Solid State Society I have not watched.
Not yet. Okay. But it's on Netflix, so we should get around to watching
it.
So I've watched the TV shows, but for me, I actually haven't watched the original movie.
I even have watched Innocence, which is Ghost in the Shell 2. Yeah.
Right? Is it a spiritual successor? Or
no, it's a direct sequel. A lot of people didn't like it. I thought it was okay.
Right. Well, we're not talking about Innocence. We're talking about Ghost in the Shell 4K remaster.
And,
only in Hong Kong.
Yep, March 11th, and we are going to watch it.
It's going to be a good time. I'm glad that I'm finally able to watch it. I mean, like, I was always planning to watch it, but now that, like, the setting for me to watch it is in a cinema 4K. That's going to be...
Surround sound is going to be great.
Oof. I'm really excited about that.
I mean, what else have you been excited about, Will? So, I told you yesterday during your birthday party.
That was actually another very nice birthday present, too. Thanks to
anime.
To the wonderful creators of The Devil is a Part-Timer. So about 8 years ago, there was this TV show, right? That was a Part-Timer, which is adapted from a light novel of the same name. It was a fun, kind of quirky, like reverse isekai. Now, isekai being another world, usually whenever we talk about isekais, it's always transporting from like the regular human world into a fantasy setting. This one is kind of reversed in that it is a sort of like supernatural, like God versus Satan kind of environment. And then the two get transported into the human world and they end up working at WookDonald's, was it? WookDonald's?
Yeah, WookDonald's.
Yeah. So it's actually kind of funny to see that kind of isekai rather than going into a fantasy world. It's bringing fantasy characters into the real world and seeing how they adapt with having to pay rent and having to cook food.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, they didn't like reincarnate as like some sort of rich person. No. They got reincarnated and then were just like, hey, you're in the real modern world. Congratulations. Good luck.
Here's a job at Japanese McDonald's.
Oh,
anime,
yeah.
Anime McDonald's.
Oh, yeah. And the main heroine who was like the highest knight, like basically the hero of the other fantasy realm. She's an office lady now.
Yeah. And they have to, they work together. They become like comrades.
And they have to worry about shifts. They have to worry about rent. They have to worry about food.
It's actually a very fun time. Like I personally enjoyed it. I think like when it came to shows, as you mentioned, I think we've had personal discussions about shows that have like long overdue sequels or like shows that we need to have sequels. Part-Timer is on the list, but it wasn't like super super high for me personally. Like I'm pretty happy, but one thing that's kind of killing me is, we don't know which studio it's going to be. Now, originally, the first season was done by White Fox. White Fox was known to have done Steins Gate, which is one of my favorite series of all time. We don't know if they're returning. But there was
an announcement trailer, so then we did know some things, which is as... I'm sorry I cut off Will, but Will was going to say basically almost all of the voice cast of the first season from 8 years ago is returning.
That's always a good sign.
And there was like very little footage shown, which is better than nothing. But the art style changed quite a bit.
Yeah, a little more kawaii, cutesy.
But hey, it made it in line with the manga.
Do you actually read the manga or
no.
read some of it? Or you
no.
just, you're using it? Like, you looked at it as reference.
Yes, I did look at it as reference, but right. I do plan on reading it. So yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So hey. It's always cool to see that some shows are coming back. I personally feel that if there was another show that I wanted to have a sequel, it'd be No Game, No Life.
Yeah, I also want No Game, No Life.
But it's been 10 years.
It's that time, man.
We should probably watch No Game, No Life Zero, though. We should watch the movie. And then maybe that'll hold us over a little bit longer before we cry about how there's still no second season.
Yeah. Well, we did get Devil's a Part-Timer, so maybe...
It Maybe. Wasn't what I asked for, though. I wanted No Game, No Life. But hey, whatever. I
mean,
take what you can get.
Look, at least it was confirmed that there's a second season.
That's true.
Whereas when I found out that Spy X Family registered a domain name, I was like, I texted Will almost instantaneously. So the news is the company, Suecia?
Yeah.
Registered a domain name, like I think it's called SpyXFamily.net, something like that. And usually, if you're into like video games or movies or any of that sort, when you register a domain, there's a reason why you bought that domain. And because the manga is doing so well, and we have been harping on it, and you know that our opinions are absolute, and we the mountains and the winds sway based on what we say.
The anime gods are on our side.
Exactly. So I asked Will, am I allowed to be excited? Is this a tease? Is this like, or is this real life? Like, is this... I get to be happy about
well,
this?
Well, Kami-san gave you a blessing, right? In a way, though, I also feel like, you know, with any big corporate, a lot of times when they register domains or business licenses and all that, it's to prevent copyright trolling.
Yes.
So, it's still a good move for them, though.
We'll see if there's any news that will come out of this.
Yeah, nothing major or concrete's come out, right? I haven't actually opened the link.
No, but I will let the whole world know when we do know.
Yeah. I mean, because we've been reading the manga, because it comes out every, is it monthly? I think it's monthly, where it comes out on Jump Plus. And
fourth volume, English translation is out, yeah.
Yeah, but like all in all, I think it's 41 or 42 chapters. That's just enough for one season of anime.
Yeah.
Which would still be good. Yeah. I'd be excited to see that. So, wow, that's quite a lot of news. A lot of cool news. A lot of cool stuff coming up. Yeah. A slight bit of betrayal.
Yeah, God. I'm going to pay for this, am I?
I fucking hate you.
God damn it.
Okay. We'll need a little bit of breather to let tempers simmer down.
I actually might not be back after the break. I might be dead.
Oh, you'll be back. You better do your job.
Oh, shit.
You started this. You started this docket. You better make sure you deliver.
Yeah, okay.
I'm watching you, buddy.
Oh, God.
We'll be back in a few minutes.
Wait. We'll be back in a few minutes. What about a sponsor?
Oh, yeah. Today's sponsor is... Have you ever seen a lonely boy who you think might be the main character of an isekai, but you feel that his death isn't coming fast enough? Entering Isekai Motors, where if you see a Hikimori crossing the street, it's all gas, no brakes. You hit that fucker and send him into the netherworld.
Okay, we gotta go.
All right, we'll catch you in a few minutes. After a much needed therapy session, I believe now that tempers are down, I'm finally ready to get back into the groove of doing this podcast. You really got me shooketh, Jason.
I think I might need to take a visit to the hospital after this.
You know, like I was kind of joking when you asked about starting a anime war with our secret shows. And I was like, yeah, sure. If it's war you want, then it's war you shall have. I didn't realize that these words were going to be taken that seriously.
I mean, as I told you downstairs while we're having our break, I was at the lobby about to go in.
Ticket in hand.
I could have ripped it into shreds and walked away. I was thinking about that. I was like, one more chance to Will. And I texted you and I said, I think the words were like, is this war? Is this war? Is this how it's going to go down?
The war it is.
And then it's war it is. And I was like, I said.
Be prepared to lose everything you love.
Or like there'll be casualties, right? Yeah.
You and everything you love. Okay. Well, I mean, at least now I know that, because you can't buy popcorn or drinks and stuff at the cinemas because of COVID, that you literally just went in there to spite me.
The woman behind me opened a bag of chips.
Okay. Good thing you didn't, because that'd be breaking COVID protocol.
But, dude, I don't even want to tempt fate at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm already tempting fate by watching the movie without you, so.
Yeah. So what is it for you then when it comes to, like, series or even, like, directors coming with the decision of rolling out movie adaptations for, like, a property? Because like, I think with a lot of movies, especially like growing up when watching anime movies, like watching the Naruto or the One Piece movies, a lot of times they weren't canon. They were just there to fluff up, you know, box office numbers, rake in some extra cash, and keep people excited about the property whilst they were preparing for the main stuff. But like, what are your thoughts in terms of like anime movies in general?
If the movie is part of a franchise to continue the story, such as Demon Slayer Mugen Train, I technically really don't like that kind of habit of, like, you have to watch the movie in order to continue watching the series. I also feel that anything that are offshoots that are non-canon, I usually avoid. I don't care.
You've watched the My Hero Academia movies, right?
Nope, not a single one.
I've watched one of them, and yeah, it was cool.
Is that the prequel one?
It was the sort of prequel. It was like the
two heroes,
or whatever it was called. And they go on that island.
Yeah.
It was cool. I liked it, but at the same time, not canon, so it doesn't necessarily enhance my perspective of My Hero Academia. It was just like a supplement, which I didn't necessarily need. It was like, you know, if you just need like a daily like a vitamin B tablet, cool, take it. But like, it's not going to really change your health for the long run. This, for me, it was nice watching it, but I already kind of liked My Hero Academia, and watching this doesn't necessarily make me like it anymore.
Okay, technically, vitamin B is for energy. Vitamin C is for immune system.
I take both.
Okay, good.
I also have a healthy diet of fruits and vegetables and alcohol.
I do not have any of those.
Okay.
but the reason why we're talking about this is our main discussion topic for this episode, which is about adapting anime adaptations, anything to do with the adaptation of anime.
Yeah, so whenever we talk about shows, and we always talk about like the OG source, a lot of times, you know, especially a lot of the shows that most people are accustomed to now, right? Like, for example, if we're talking about like, you know, Dr. Stone, Promised Neverland, Haikyuu, Jujutsu Kaisen, even all the way to like the big three with like One Piece, Bleach, Naruto, they all had an original source, which was the anime, which was the manga.
I like how all those you mentioned was all Shonen Jump properties.
That's why it's like it makes sense for them to get these adapted, right? Because when it comes to rolling out popular manga, comics, even, right? Like, we also saw it with like the Marvel Universe, right? Like, when you want to really rake in a little extra cash on the properties you've developed, sometimes you want something that's a little more salient, a little more palatable for people to consume. Therefore, like, I feel like most people who listen to this podcast, or most people in general, they would be more accustomed to watching anime as opposed to reading manga, or even reading light novels, like in more extreme cases.
Right, and in traditionally, it has always been manga was the main source for adaptation. You could argue that there were original animes, which is a subject we will touch on in great detail later on. But
some really good ones too, yeah.
Yes, extremely. And when you said that light novels were a rarity back then, I would agree with you. But now it's a dime a dozen. It's everywhere. Everything's a light novel adaptation. It's the new hot thing. Isekai.
Yeah, I'd say 80%, if not like more, of like isekai anime all draft from a light novel.
Like what? Konosuba.
Yeah. No Game, No Life.
No Game, No Life.
Redo of Healer.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Let me fluff it up. Boonie Town, the Boonie Town anime.
The Spider Isekai as well.
Spider,
right?
Isekai. Yeah.
There was another one. Oh, Mushoku Tensei.
Oh.
Jobless Reincarnation.
It just says it has reincarnation in the name, right? Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
So a lot of them, like, usually
slimy isekai.
Yeah, so a lot of times, like, the evolution usually would be like manga into anime, or light novel into anime, or if they have an extra step, light novel to manga to anime. There's always like a lot of times you would say that the quote unquote final form of this adaptation would be an anime,
right? And I think a lot of people mainly consume it through the anime at the very least. But what they don't understand is that a lot of times the anime doesn't have to make money, doesn't even have to do well. I guess, what's the saying? Any press is better than no press, you know? Like,
yeah. So I think in the end, right, like when it comes to using anime, like the companies are, it's basically a large marketing drive.
It's all about money at the end of the day. Any business of any sort is all about it. Well, you know, the animators need to earn money in order to make more anime. The shows that you like watching has to be profitable to a certain degree, or someone has to deem it as profitable or worth investing in order for there to be more.
Like, if we take one example, right? Demon Slayer, at the end of the first season, and then when the movie started coming out, during that period, they sold over 90 million copies of manga.
Right.
And in total, they sold 120.
Right.
Now, the manga had been in existence for 5 years, since 2016. Well, actually, the 4 years, because it ended in 2020.
Yes.
But once it ended, and when people had seen the hype episode of the 19, first season, 17 or 19?
19.
Yeah. And then when the movie came out, I mean, we already talked about how much money the movie made. Jason will tell you how good it is. And
then, it's pretty good.
Yeah. So, fuck you. So that's the thing, right? Like, the anime itself doesn't necessarily make money on its own, but because of the increased popularity and attention it generates for the property, the manga sales show a whole different story as to, you know, why anime is needed.
And it's not just that, but also if you adapt something as an investor, as a pitch, it would be easier to accept, because not only is it an established property of any sort, you would then have a fan base, inherent fan base, whether it is through the light novel or through the manga or any, or a video game even, there is already something there for you to extract the ideas and, you know, the atmosphere and the tone. Then also it allows you to gauge, okay, how big is this following going to be? Then you can have appropriate budgets. You could make everything becomes clearer. Everything becomes more easier to accept for everyone. And also, furthermore, the source material would usually have a plot, would usually have characters. So you don't have to go through the creative process of making something up, unless if it's anime original, which is another thing entirely. But the characters are set. The design are mostly set, unless if you want to drastically change it, but those are exceptions. Almost always, it's all laid out for you, and all you have to do is follow the script. So it's easier. And anime original, technically, is really complicated, because not only do you have everything I just said, but you have to create something from nothing. And that's the creative process, obviously, is something you can't really put a time limit on. You could figure it out in 10 seconds. You could figure it out in 10 minutes or 10 years.
Yeah, anime originals are like a very weird kind of area, because a lot of times would you agree that for most studios to do an anime original, it's usually two purposes. One of which is like a showcase of the studio's ability, which I think like Akudama Drive was kind of one of them for Studio Pierrot. And the other one being more like working on like a passion project of sorts. Like, you know, like this is, you know, what they've always wanted to do. They have like a band of really highly talented people, or it might even just be like an audition for like a director or like a story writer. We give them a project to work on. It's like, hey, look, if you can get enough popularity in this, we can attach you to some really big shows that actually are revenue generating.
But not only that, if you were to just say Google, which is what I did when I first tried to do some research on this topic, I literally Googled best anime of all time or anime must watch. And I just looked at the Google results. It turns out that a lot of those results are anime originals, which I'm talking about, for example, Evangelion, Foolie, known as FLCL, Anohana, as Will watched, Kill la Kill, as we both watched and loved, Gurren Lagann, as we both loved and watched, Death Parade, we both loved and watched, Yuri on Ice, which is like very popular as well.
Still spoken about to this day, yeah.
Yeah, Madoka Magica, which kind of revolutionized the whole magical girl genre, and not just be all cutesy, but actually have it be action-oriented, very dark and heavy. A Place Further Than the Universe, Code Geass, Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo. I'm like just naming all these things.
We have two classics where it's like, what would you do if you melded like the best of music with the best of animation, and you have Bebop and Samurai Champloo?
Psycho Pass
is fantastic as well.
I mean, all those that I just named would be, if not a lot of them, almost all of them would be on someone's radar at any given point.
If not on like score ranking, popularity ranking.
I mean, Ghost in the Shell, right?
Yeah. So I think when it comes to talking about anime originals, it's hard for studios to consistently push them out, right? Because they just don't really generate a lot of money, unless it's like a movie.
Right? So I did a rough tabulation of just like maybe the past couple of seasons, the amount of shows that were considered adapted from a manga, light novel, or a novel, or any of that sort, versus anime original. And I came up with a rough average score of 10% any given year. So what that means is, of all the anime that comes out, which is a lot, what was it, like 80 times 4, only 10% of that is anime original. And as Will was saying earlier about a lot of people aren't willing to take that risk with anime original because you really don't know how well or how poorly it would do. Studio Trigger, which is one of my favorite studios, actually has a highly disproportionate number of animes that are original, anime originals. And for better or for worse, or how you feel about it, you know how I feel about it, but you need to give credit when credit is due, that people are this studio is willing to take the risk to create something new. Even it falling flat, I have to give them the credit and the balls to do something like that.
I also just thought about like how much money it costs to actually produce anime. So actually, this was an interview that was done about 5 years ago with a pretty OG director slash creator. His name was Masamune Sasaki. And back then, this is back in 2016, and they said that a 13-episode season in terms of budget roughly comes up to around 2 million US, or in Japan, 250 million yen. So that's how much it would cost like an average anime to be produced. Now, to put that into perspective, for this year's Super Bowl, the amount of money it costs for a 30-second ad space is over $5 million.
Jesus.
Right? So, like, this is not to say that, like, we're trying to compare, like, budgets between, like, high-profile, like, Forbes, like, fucking companies putting in shows into one of the biggest sports spectacles in the world, comparing to just, you know, some random studio trying to pump out an anime. Well, what I'm trying to allude here is, like, if it costs a company this much money to put an ad space for a Super Bowl event, would you then think that maybe anime itself, like, as an advertising campaign, as a marketing campaign, $2 million is really not that much money? Like, I'm not saying that, like, you know, we should just find like a bunch of people and just pool our capital together and produce an anime.
There are some Kickstarters. I mean, Little Witch Academia was Kickstarted.
Yes. Was it a Kickstarter or GoFundMe?
I think it was both. There was a Kickstarter for sure.
Okay. And that was for the Little Witch thing, right?
Yes.
So, of course, like, yeah, like, you can, if you want, like, pull together money increase. I mean, like, that's what a lot of indie directors do as well, right? If they share enough of a vision with other people and you put enough money to make that vision into a reality, why not? But when it comes to, like, these large corporations, right, especially, like, Shueisha, Kodansha, Shokugan, like, when they want to push out more of their manga and boost sales, like, the adage is always the same, right? Like, you got to spend money to make money. So when you talk about like shows like One Piece is running for fucking ever, but you will still put in money to produce an anime because you know people are still buying their shit.
I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Merchandise, Pokemon card merchandise, Beyblades, four-wheel drive. We mentioned this last episode with Shonen Big 3. These are the driving forces that, for better or for worse, a lot of people see that anime and then go out and buy stuff. That is the main way that they earn money, or through you going buying the manga or the light novel.
Or buying the Blu-ray box sets.
Yeah, or buying the figurines. Like, these are the anime is the thing that you primarily consume, but then they're hoping that you would branch off from the anime.
It's like the gateway, right?
Yeah,
like, once you've got a taste of, you know, the Kool-Aid. We're not trying to demean anime in that sense where we're saying that, like, it's just, you know, a means of advertising. No. We're just saying that, like, it's one of the ways that it's used. But it's not a bad thing either, because if it means that you get more attention for the property, they're able to get more money, and therefore they're able to continue producing high-quality stuff, I'm all for it.
I mean, you're talking to someone, a.k.a. me, that generally don't seek out manga until very recently. And the only way that I knew to read what manga, to know what to buy and what to consume, was purely through anime. Oh, this anime came out this season. Oh, it ended because it's the end of the season. They might not have a second season. Oh, but the story needs to continue. Huh, maybe I should read the manga. Maybe I should consume the light novel or, God forbid, a visual novel.
Yeah. But I mean, like, this goes back to, you know, what we talk about, you know, getting anime adaptations, keeping up with, like, successful, like, shows, trying to get more attention and stuff. Sometimes it doesn't always work out that way. Like, you know, we were talking in our news section about, for example, like, Devil's a Part-Timer. You know, it had a decent run. Actually, a pretty good run as a light novel. It's got an anime adaptation, a manga adaptation that's still running. And the fact that they also had an anime that came out back in 2013. It was 8 years until afterwards they decided, you know what, we're going to bring it back and do a second season.
A lot of people didn't wait that long to consume the rest of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I think, like, when it comes to watching anime, yes, we would hope that studios, like, if we want to say that they're doing it for the good of the manga and the anime scene, that they would pick up a property that we like and adapt it to the fullest, because that's what we want. And that's true. Like, for us, like, I would love to see, like, a conclusive ending for No Game No Life. I would like to see everything it adapted for Devil's a Part-Timer. It's not always the case, right? It's not so simple as once you adapt something, it's going to happen. Like, for example, like, One Punch Man, the first season got adapted. 4 years later, oh, it's not going to be done by Madhouse anymore. It's going to be done by JC Staff.
But doesn't matter, because it's season two, man.
It's still One Punch Man.
It's
right?
Still One Punch Man.
It sucked.
It is still One Punch Man, but it sucked.
So it's not always like, oh, just because you can't always get what you want.
And here is the thing that the One Punch Man is a good example, which is, what is considered a good anime adaptation? I think if you were to ask the average, like, anime viewer, anime manga viewer reader, they would say I think the common answer to what is a good anime adaptation is the faithfulness to the source material. I think you can say that about a lot of things. You know, for example, Game of Thrones is one that is thrown around a lot recently, of it being very faithful to the original novel that it was based off of. So when things are adapted into anime form from manga or light novel, a lot of people would grade or, like, critique the anime based off of what the level of faithfulness it is to the source material. And I very much see that and a firm believer of it to a certain degree, which is like, oh, I read, for example, I read this X manga series. Oh, it's being adapted. Like, for, oh, good. How about this? Horimiya. I read Horimiya, like, tons of volumes. I think up to volume 14. And when they said that they were doing an anime, I was ecstatic. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for this moment to be adapted. I can't wait to hear the voices. I can't wait to hear everything being animated. Like, I was anticipating it. And I think you can say that about a lot of adaptations.
Yeah, faithfulness is definitely one of them. But sometimes faithfulness only gets you so far, right? In the end, if the property is popular itself, sometimes people can just kind of overlook it if it means that they're able to get more of what they want. The case in point, like Naruto. Like, Naruto had been running for over a decade, like, well over 700 episodes between the original as well as the sequel anime. But then we have to talk about the dreaded word in the anime industry, the anime community, actually.
Oh, wait. Okay. Can I guess it?
Go for it.
Filler arcs?
Yes.
Yep.
According to the filler arc list, which you can actually find on Google, from both Naruto and Naruto Shippuden, the sequel anime series, 41% of the anime is filler.
Ouch. Okay, so what is filler, Will?
What happens when you have a very, very popular manga that gets adapted and it's just building, like, worldwide appeal? Everybody's like, oh, I gotta get more of that Naruto. I gotta get more of that Demon Slayer. I gotta get more of this, more of that, more of that. Okay, cool. We can keep adapting it. We're backed by a big studio. We got big bucks coming in. what happens when we ran out of the source material? Oh, shit. Well, we have no more story to run off of. We don't have any more plot coming in from the original writer and all that. I guess we have to start making shit up.
We have to pad it out.
We have to create anime original content. But it's different from an anime original like series. What they do is they still build the world off of the property itself, but they have to diverge from the main story and create... It's like when you play a video game, and instead of playing the main story, you decide, you know what? I'm going to do like a side mission, right? Like whether or not it affects the main story, I don't care. I just want to do something different. That's kind of what happened with anime when they reach the point where they're actually covering more than what's already out there in terms of the source material. And you end up having to watch stuff that, okay, to some it could be entertaining, but it doesn't add value to your overall viewership because these are characters that don't show up in the original source. These are people, these are plots that actually do not have any bearing on what the original story is. So why am I watching it? Am I watching it purely because it's tied to the property that I really like? Or am I just watching it because there's nothing else better to watch?
So there's different degrees of these kinds of fillers or anime original content. I think this season is a very interesting anime season because it features, for example, adaptation of Demon Slayer, the Mugen Train, which is doing extremely well. It also features Promised Neverland Season 2, which had anime original content. It also features a bunch of, obviously, manga, light novel, anime adaptations. It features original anime, so Wonder Egg Priority. You hear Will and I gush over it nonstop.
In the previous season, yeah, Akudama Drive.
Exactly. And it's crazy to me that this season, just in this season, Cloverworks has three different works with three different kinds of adaptations. You have Promised Neverland, which, okay, based off of a manga, but they have anime original content. You have Horimiya, which is based off of a manga, and it's quite faithful, but the pacing is super fast and covering a lot of volumes and cutting a lot of stuff out. And then you have Wonder Egg Priority, which is anime original, high production, craziness, darkness, everything good and great about anime.
I think the story writer or the director is a freshman as well. It's, yeah. It's like their first ever property.
Like, it blows my mind how amazing this is, like, and how... Yeah, clap, clap,
give
clap,
your
clap.
Hands to Cloverworks. They're killing it right now. As much as people talk shit about Promised Neverland, they actually did an announcement beforehand. Like, this is going to be anime original content. You may not enjoy it, but we wanted to do this because we wanted to do a spin on Promised Neverland. We wanted to create something different. And then, you know, when we get back into the main story, you'll see how the rest of the story, it's basically adding extra stuff into it to make it so that it helps to enhance our appreciation of the show. Unfortunately, it hasn't translated well with most fans. I think a lot of them didn't get the announcement, or like they were still expecting like season one kind of expectations, only to be, you know, quote unquote, let down. I mean, it's not like they weren't told before, but I mean, most fans don't keep up with news. So when they started watching it, they just felt like they got let down. They felt like this was like a massive disappointment. Initially, when the first episode dropped, I think that on my anime list, it was holding an 8.23 or 8.25. Very respectable. As of today, the MAL rating has dropped down to 7.07. It's a big fall from grace.
That is huge in terms of the contrast. And I think the popularity is in like
the top 300, I think.
And then the ranking is in the 3000s.
That disparity is
gigantic. But personally, I have no problem with anime original content, to be honest. It just has to be good. The problem is that, actually, in my opinion, the problem is twofold. The first problem is usually anime original content is not written by the original creator, therefore, in certain cases, does not have the same amount of feel, does not have the same tone as the original author has intended. So then it feels out of place. The other thing that I have a problem with anime originals is that they either use a plot device that completely changes the plot going forward. Which, okay, that's fine. But what happens when you're going to create a second season? When you create a new set of movies, for example, with Code Geass? Like, that just, you retcon stuff, you add stuff in, and it just does not make sense. There is no reason for it. Or if you're going to do that, go all the way and own it. Don't walk it half back and things like that. That's my problem with anime originals.
This is why to this day I still refuse to watch the new seasons of Code Geass. I couldn't give a shit when they announced there was a new anime coming out for Code Geass. Because they had to retcon shit.
And then when you found out what they retconned was like, it was kind of a slap in the face because, and I'm not exaggerating here because if you want to Google it or if you want to watch it, we won't spoil it for you. But one of the major, in fact, the major thing that they retconned kind of defeats the whole purpose of what was originally intended in the anime. And
it made the new stuff seem so soft. No, I didn't like what they did. No. It was just like you built up all this hype and emotion. Like that's what it is as well, right? Like Code Geass is a very emotional anime. But when you take out that element, then like what are you left with?
Or you take out the one thing that a certain character or plot progresses and then everyone enjoys it. It's meant to be that way. And then you take it away and you add something back in and say, but you guys got to like it, right? Because it's been like, what, 5 years or whatever.
Hey, man, it's still Code Geass, man.
Still Code Geass, man. And yes, you're kind of right, but you're also not right.
Right? Like, it's like same thing with like Tokyo Ghoul as well, right? Like Tokyo Ghoul being that the manga went a certain direction, which is the original canon edition. And then when you decide, you know what, like let's create an anime original for the next season of the anime, but the writer has actual hands-on like contribution to it, and they give it to the production company, and then the production company throws it away and does something else completely.
Okay, we're talking about Tokyo Ghoul Route A,
yes.
Which in terms of anime canon, I want to be very precise about this because Will loves Tokyo Ghoul, so I have to be careful with my words here.
Yep.
Tokyo Ghoul Route A is the bridge between Tokyo Ghoul, the original, and Tokyo Ghoul Re, which is the sequel. So this is like 1.5, basically.
Pretty much.
Like a stopgap.
It has absolutely got nothing to do with the original manga. And it kind of like bothers me a lot because Tsuyoshida, who is the writer of Tokyo Ghoul, actually like coordinated with the studio to say, hey, look, like I know that we're running out of stuff here, but here is like a whole new script that you can use so that whilst you're creating anime original stuff, it still adheres to what my grand vision for Tokyo Ghoul is, so that when you go back and merge everything to the original canon story, nothing is like too aloof, nothing is too crazy, nothing is lost. They decided, you know what, like this is a little too convoluted, we'll do our own thing, and that's what happened with Tokyo Ghoul Route A, which I still refuse to watch.
And to make matters even to going back to Code Geass. Okay, so Tokyo Ghoul is based on a manga. Code Geass is an original anime. So they could have done whatever they wanted, yet they chose to retcon the ending of the anime series in order to pump out more Code Geass years after the fact. You could have done a myriad of different things, but the route that you chose was probably the route that I would have never considered in the first place.
It's kind of like, you know, if we were to explain it a different way, like the Star Wars franchise with George Lucas bringing out remasters and then like the cantina scene.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of what happened because why else are you producing more Code Geass stuff? It's, oh, you want to enhance the story? Well, the story was really, really good to begin with. People are still watching it. No, it's because now we're going to release a trilogy of Code Geass movies. And if you watch these three movies, then you will know what happens in the newest Code Geass season that we will only release after you've all watched the movie. But if you only watch the first two seasons, you will not understand what happens in the third season because that's not that canon. It follows a different canon. So that really irked me. So you talked about how like you didn't really like it when like the Demon Slayer example, right? Taking Mugen Train, like a specific arc from the anime, and creating a movie out of it, and then you had to pay extra to watch that in order to continue on the story. Okay, you can understand why they made the decision. You don't like it, but hey, it broke box office records. It's still good. Great. The Code Geass one was just infuriating all around because it was always like an anime classic. A lot of people that watched it loved it. And all of a sudden, you have three new movies that literally have nothing to do with the original because they retconned everything. And now it's like, oh, by the way, we have a new season of Code Geass that follows this continuum, not that one. So go watch the movies. Pay us more money to watch this first and then watch the new season. That was just kind of fucked up for me.
Yeah, I can see as a fan as a fan of Code Geass where you're coming from. But how about this, Will? Enough about shitting on terrible anime adaptations. Let's talk about the polar opposite, which is really good anime adaptations. And I have several examples I like to share with everyone. So
good anime is always good anime. Let's hear it.
So, as
are we talking about like adaptations or originals?
Adaptations. Okay. So it's very obvious to everyone, but the difference between when something is static, such as manga, or when it's in words, like as in a light novel or novel, converts into an anime, there is the audio visual additive part of it, which enhances it right away. Whether or not you utilize it well is a different issue. But the fact that there's music, voice acting, colors is a huge thing because not all manga, in fact, a lot of manga is not in color. So to have it colorized, to have it be in three-dimension, 2.5D or 2D or whatever, it is good. Or like that, a lot of people would see that as like an upgrade, as an improvement. I think a lot of people also shit on the use of 3D in anime a lot. And I feel like X-Arm this season, again, this season seems to be the perfect catalyst for this discussion because there's just everything that we talk about, there's examples in this season alone.
It's like you like within just the one season. Like a lot of times you get some great stuff and some bad stuff, but this one season literally is like what you see as the best in anime. And at the same time, the worst in anime.
And that's just the beginning of 2021. So, like, I've mentioned this series before, Land of the Lustrious. I read the manga. It's 10 out of 10, 5 stars for me in terms of the manga. The anime is also exceptional. It is interesting, though, for everyone, because Land of the Lustrious, the anime was not in 2D. It was completely rendered in 3D. And you would think, well, I've heard Will and Jason shit on X-Arm or just talk a lot of crap about 3D in anime, which rightfully so, there's a lot of trash out there. But I think even you, Will, even though you haven't seen it, you would at least attest to the fact that there's a lot of hubbub and buzz around the fact that if there is an anime that utilizes 3D well, it would be Land of the Lustrious, or at least Studio Orange, who is the studio behind Land of the Lustrious and Beastars.
I think that's one example, though, and it's like really hard to emulate because, as you've mentioned, right, there's a certain stigma towards the use of 3D CG in a lot of shows. I mean, like even like Attack on Titan, like their 3D got shat on, even though I thought it was decent.
But I think the Attack on Titan is also a very good example, but not the use of 3D, which is the art style of the manga, especially in the very beginning, were very rough. But right away from the get-go, in episode 1 of the anime, it was clean, it was crisp. The soundtrack was epic, it was operatic, the action, the kinetic motion of everything, it was amazing.
Would you say that Attack on Titan, though, is one of the shows where the anime does it better than the manga. Like, it's actually, because you're watching an anime form, it's actually better, a better way to appreciate it compared to reading the original source.
I think a lot of people would hate me for saying this, but I 100% agree with that statement.
There are a lot of shows, actually, where, like, the anime is just as good or, like, even better than the OG source.
Yeah, so Kyoto Animation, for example, they done a lot of very gorgeous-looking anime. One of their flagship anime series that they have made is called K-On!, which features a bunch of high school girls forming a band. I have watched a good portion of it, not all of it, because there are, like, several seasons and plus several movies, and I just didn't get around to it. But then I was like, okay, why don't I check out the source? And the source is a manga. I was like, okay, great. Let me just check out the manga. It is a 4-coma panel manga. Like, there is the anime and the manga is night and day. The anime is far superior. And I think that comes to the point where good anime adaptation, because the manga actually has a lot of strong points and comedic and slice of life-ness that the anime utilizes very well. And then on top of all that, they expanded on that idea. And furthermore, it's about high school girls in a band, so reasonably so, the music of the band has to be good, and it is good. So K-On!, I would say, also is a very, very good summation of how good anime adaptations can exist. I mean, I would say even Hyouka, which was based off of a novel, not light novel, a novel, and the color palette, just everything about it looks gorgeous, which you will never be able to portray with just simple words, even as eloquent and as descriptive as you can be.
Yeah, I think no matter what, right? Like, when we talk about anime and their original source, like, that being the original source, you would figure that a lot of time and effort was put into that to really flesh out the story, flesh out emotions, characters. And so a lot of times, yeah, original source is very, very good. It's probably, like, the better of the formats. But then you also then would be like, well, you know what? Like, if especially if you're watching a shonen, it's action-based, there are going to be times when you're like, you know what? I think the anime adaptation is actually better. Like, Hunter x Hunter is fantastic. Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood is fantastic.
Okay, Hunter x Hunter, the manga, is not as fantastic later on.
Yeah, because the writer with his own...
also doesn't give a shit, and then... okay, that's a tough story.
Yeah, but even then, though, right? Like, for example, I would say that because you add in the color, the music, the animation, it just, it hits better. It's a different kind of impact, right? Like, if you were to watch that tournament arc from My Hero Academia as opposed to reading it, it's a whole different experience.
Yeah, and I think that, rightfully so, when we first started this conversation earlier on this episode, right after the break, you mentioned a bunch of shonen shows. So, like, Jujutsu Kaisen, Naruto, Bleach, One Piece, all this. If you might have noticed, shonen's characteristics, one of them, is action-oriented. The kineticness of it. So then, to have it animated, the fluid movement of what you're seeing on screen, it lends itself very well to be adapted into anime form. And we have seen Jujutsu Kaisen every week, and it is just, the fight scenes are just full, like, heart-pumping good.
The last four episodes have been fucking exhilarating.
Like, the episode with the guys, and then the episode with the girls, and then the episode with the guys again.
That was 16, 17, and 18. 17 was the girl fights.
The girl fights.
And then 18 was the guy fights.
And also 16.
16 as well.
Yeah.
Jesus. So
it was just really good. And look, I can't say for sure, because I might have to read the manga to confirm, and I think I will, but I don't think it's the same to see it on screen versus seeing it in panels.
Yeah, it really, like you said, right? It comes down to the genre, the format, and how it gets adapted, right? Like, if you get the right studio and you get, like, the right people animating it, it can look fucking gorgeous, right? Actually, going back onto the whole 3D thing you were talking about as well, right? Like, there is always going to be stigma against 3D just because it's not always done well. But there are some shows that were like, it's predominantly, or like a lot of it is 3D, and I really enjoyed it. Like, for example, like Kengan Ashura, Ajin, those two shows.
What about Dorohedoro?
Dorohedoro is sort of, it's kind of like cell block, cell shading slash 3D, also done by MAPPA, so you know they do good work. But like, the thing with Dorohedoro as well is that the adaptation, whilst not faithful story-wise, there are some chunks because it's a very long manga. It's like 23 volumes, and I think they've only managed to go through the first 1.5, maybe 2 volumes. The art style, though, the art style is extremely faithful. Like, mm-hmm, what's portrayed within, like, the panels of the manga is exactly what you would see, but in full HD color. And it's gorgeous. I know it's a weird show. People have talked to me about checking it out after listening to our top 10 list and being like, wow, this is the kind of shit you like, Will. What's going on? This is really weird. It's like, that, I know. It is weird. I told you it'd be weird, but it's gorgeously weird. Just keep watching it.
I'll read it. I promise I'll read it.
I fucking love it too. Read all 23 volumes.
And it's so out. Good. It's all out in English. Yeah. For a Viz Media.
Yeah. It's expensive to read, but hey, I mean,
you do what you gotta do, right?
Yeah.
It's good. So, like, and we're okay, anime TV series itself is no exception. I mean, anime movies we're talking about here are also exceptional. That can be adapted very well. Fate Stay Night is one of the most prominent properties in all of anime currently, with the Type Moon properties.
I mean, depending on who you ask, right? Because you have the visual novel diehards to tell you that you're going to check out Fates. You have to play the visual novel. And to them, we say, well, you know, congratulations. You finished the visual novel. But we're watching anime here, so we'll go next door and you do your thing.
Right. Right, right, yeah. Wow, we're throwing shade on so many people.
No, props to them. The fact that they were able to play through the whole thing. I mean, it's like, what, 150 to 200 hours?
I'd rather watch 150 to 100 hours of anime.
Total,
okay,
right?
Okay, but we're digressing. Heaven's Feel, the movie trilogy, that came out. The Evangelion remake, where Evangelion is probably one of the most well-known classics when it comes to anime. They have a bunch of movie adaptations. And I think that's a very interesting conversation because the Evangelion remake is not just, hey, let's use modern graphics and modern technology to enhance what was then dated, like, art.
They're not trying to milk the franchise, right?
They actually added characters in there that have never shown up before. They have tweaked certain things to make it so that it is its own thing, but also within the same vein of the original content. And I think in general, I can't speak for it, even though I think the two of us will consume it at some point, but the reception has been rather positive.
Yeah, it's good to know that for them. I mean, of course, like, money's a big factor, but it's not like purely a money-driven decision, right? They still want to make sure that if they're producing something based on this property they know is popular, that they're still delivering something to the fans.
Well, right, because if you burn them, they won't consume other, like, the rest of it.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is, like, end on a whim, right? You want to, like, make sure that if you're doing this, you're doing this high octane, 110%, and you give back to the fans who helped you get to where you are now.
Right. And another interesting conversation is anime adaptations of video games and visual novels.
So I actually haven't played that. I know that for you, you're a pretty big fan of, like, what, the Shin Megami Tensei, the Persona series.
So Persona series is a set of Japanese RPGs, and I used to love... I mean, actually, I still love Japanese RPGs. Played a lot of Final Fantasy series.
Is Persona 4 your favorite?
It is now my crowning 100% number one RPG, possibly video game of all time. I have played through that game 3 to 4 times.
Even Persona 5 is, like, below Persona 4.
Yes, 100%.
Wow.
But it's interesting to mention the Persona series because within the video game, they have animated scenes, like, as if it was an anime. Furthermore, Atlus, which is the name of the company that created the Shin Megami Tensei Persona series, they always release the anime adaptation of the video game. So you have Persona 3, which is a set of movies. You have the Persona 4 TV series, anime TV series. You have the Persona 4 Golden anime TV series, which is crazy to me, but that's a whole other can of worms. And then a Persona 5 anime TV series. So it's not just you're adapting from manga, light novel, novels. You could even adapt from video games. And we crap on visual novels all the time. But there are tons of animes that come from visual novels that are great. Danganronpa, I've watched and played, and I think that it is okay.
The Higurashi series.
Higurashi series. There is...
Is The World Ends With You a visual novel or like an actual anime game?
It's an anime game.
But okay, so the previous adaptation then, where it's like, started off as a game, and now it's getting an anime adaptation
next season. Right. And I'm excited for that. And what was it? Fruits of Grisaia? That is also a visual novel that got turned into an anime. The Tsukihime remake that's coming out in 2021, the intro of it done by Ufotable is gorgeous.
I don't think I've ever seen anything that disappointed me from Ufotable. Jesus Christ,
even the Garden of Sinners
stuff. That shit came out like the late 2000s and it looks fucking high def as fuck now. It's gorgeous. It's stupid fun to watch those. Depressing, but super fun.
There's just so much good stuff. And now, I think in a few weeks' time, we will be talking about another source that I think a lot of people are now going to extract anime adaptation sources from, webtoons and manhwa, the Korean version of manga and webtoons, which is like an online portal for people to... what do you call it? Like a long panel?
It's basically...
Single panel.
Rather than reading it horizontally, it's vertical.
Right.
From top to bottom.
And it's like one page, one long-ass page, basically. Yeah.
So rather than like things being like kind of condensed into like an A5 or even like an A4 kind of size, it's just one whole long...
It's like a ninja scroll, basically.
Yes. It's like one of those like little like tapestries you get when you hang on your wall. It's just like literally reading from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Some of them work. Some of them look really, really good. Like one of them that I think both you and I have read before, Omniscient Reader, that one was pretty good.
Yeah.
Tower of God looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think not all of them are great, but again, it's like, for me at least, it's like a new format, a new style. It's obviously, it's the same when like watching anime to begin with and then starting to read manga. It's not the same, right? But in the end, right? Like, it's the core content that matters. Like, does the story deliver? Do the characters still resonate with you? Are you still able to, you know, rather than reading it, like, watch it and, like, still get full enjoyment out of it?
Yeah. So, I think the anime adaptation is a process that is extremely complicated. I think adapting anime sometimes is not about what is kept the same and or faithfulness as the source, but sometimes what it does differently or adds upon of the source, having it being animated.
Are you the kind of person where like sometimes you go onto my anime list or look on Google and see so and so like property manga versus anime, and then whichever one gets better, you watch or you read?
Because no.
I do that all the time.
Oh, I just watch the anime first.
So that's why, for example, like stuff like Deadman Wonderland, Tokyo Ghoul, Assassination Classroom.
Oh, wait. Okay, that's a lie, because with like High Rise Invasion and with Horimiya, I did read the manga first.
Right. But it wasn't like you were like deliberately saying, okay, which one's better and I have to go through that source.
No.
It's more just like, oh, I like this. How does it look in the other format?
Yeah, I think it's more of an inquisitive research nature, or... I need to continue the story. I don't think there will be another season because I just don't think that they will do that. So I'll have to continue it in manga. Hmm. Not unreluctantly, fully like willing. Just, oh, okay, that's just the way it is now.
Or sometimes it's just like you watch a season and you're like, I don't know how long I can wait before the rest of the stuff comes out. So I'm just going to start reading it.
Also with light novels and visual novels, I will almost always never consume them and rather consume the anime version. Not because we love to shit on them, but it's just more of that the time commitment to a visual novel is so immense that I just cannot put all that time to one property, even if it is extremely epic.
Yeah. I think in the end, right, like we're used to certain formats, therefore it's what we stick with. It's not to detract from the original source. Sometimes, you know, 200 hours, we might want to spend it elsewhere.
I mean, yeah, so faithfulness does not guarantee it being successful or does not guarantee that it will be good.
Especially if the original content was shit to begin with anyway.
Or it could not be with, like, K-On.
Yeah.
It was the other way around. There's plenty of examples of that, but those are exceptions, to be honest. I think also anime originals, which we did not talk too much about. We did talk a decent chunk about it. They're more memorable, but the risks associated with it are high because of so many unknown factors.
I mean, your top anime of all time was an original.
That is correct.
Right? And my one isn't necessarily... It's not an original, but it was based off a campus novel, so it had no manga. Right?
Right.
Tsukami Galaxy was just basically based off a book.
Yes.
Right? So it's not always like manga must become anime to become successful and well-received. That's not true at all.
So I think that is more or less the end of that conversation, of that topic. But I would say, last question, Will. Anime adaptations. Name several anime adaptations that you want to see adapted.
Oh, you're really breaking my balls here.
How about I go first?
Yeah, well, one of them I would have easily said Chainsaw Man, but now that it's been announced, I'm super happy with. So, like, I can't wait for that one.
I can't wait for it either. I love it.
There are some, but I want to hear yours first because I feel like mine would just make people feel depressed.
Oh, okay. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I would say Spy X Family. I think you and I both agree.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. As much as we said, as much as I said, that there's only like 40 or so chapters and therefore it's like not enough material, I can't wait for it to get adapted.
It has to be a matter of time. And maybe that domain registration is already setting the plan in motion. I think the other one that I feel has been harped on time and time again all over the internet that has not received an anime adaptation was Komi Cannot Communicate, or Komi Can't Communicate.
I've still yet to crack that open, but it looks cool.
So, I love it. I think it's exceptional, a manga. And it is only a matter of time, hopefully, before it gets an anime adaptation. It's been so long. There's 11 English volumes out, so I don't know. Maybe. Maybe someday. Well, I mean, hey, Devil is a Part-Timer got a second season.
Anything is possible.
Hey, Shaman King returned for like the first time in like
20 years.
20 years. Wait, Burn the Witch is like a pseudo sequel to Bleach?
I mean,
that is actually okay?
Dude, Chihaya Furu had to wait 6 years before a sequel, right? The third season came out like 6 years after the second season.
Yeah, wait, Fruits Basket?
That's a thing again.
That's a thing again, and actually it's doing really well. The last season is coming out next season, I think?
Yeah.
Like, anything is possible.
So there are a few things. Okay, like you said you wanted Spy X Family. Is there anything else you wanted to
Komi
add?
Komi Can't Communicate.
So those are the two. Is there any more you want to add to that?
I think two is enough for the time being.
So I actually have a few. Some of them I
don't... Let's hear it.
Yeah, so I don't think like some of them are ongoing manga that we are reading. We probably don't want to spoil those just yet. But so falling off the Chainsaw Man thing, the writer, before he started off with Chainsaw Man, actually wrote another manga called Fire Punch.
Yeah.
Now, I like Fire Punch quite a lot, but...
I think it's pretty good, too, but I haven't finished it.
Because it's really hard to go back to it,
right? I literally have to read fluffy girl love stuff in order to compensate for the depressive nature of what is essentially Frostpunk the game. In anime form.
Yeah.
I mean, manga form.
Depressing makes it very... Depressing is a very light way of describing it. Other shows I think we need to get... And a series that we need to get adapted. Okay, two of them kind of cheating. One of which is because of the fact that originally the original series itself is already animated, and it's My Hero Academia. But what I wanted to see is the offshoot, Vigilantes. Now, that would be really cool, because I think they've got 8 volumes out. But the premise is very interesting, because it's essentially My Hero Academia, but if being a hero was illegal. Right,
it's kind of like Kick-Ass, essentially.
Yes, exactly. And I want to see that get adapted. Okay, yeah, you can watch Kick-Ass, but like, Kick-Ass is only one good movie. I didn't watch Kick-Ass 2. I don't know if it's good or not. Now, the other one I do want to see, and again, it's kind of cheating because it's not like a manga original or whatnot. It already exists. I want them to redo and remaster it, just like what they did with Fruit Basket and all that. Ever watched Ichigo 100%?
No.
It's like one of the, like the...
Oh, no, I know what it is, and I know you talked about it, but no.
Yeah, so it's like one of those like OG harem anime, kind of like Love Hina, right?
Yeah, just watch Love Hina, Will.
Love Hina, because Love Hina was made well, but Ichigo 100%, right? But Ichigo 100% started off great, and then the studio ran out of money, and then they didn't manage to make a second season. They released one episode of the second season, and then the studio went bankrupt.
Okay, so if you're going to is if that's a, like a pseudo cheat, I have a third and final pick.
What is it?
The World God Only Knows.
Oh, I do want to check that out.
So
I
do want to check that out. There is 3 seasons of that in anime form. It's like it's the third season. The first and second, it's like, it gets progressively better, which is crazy because usually when things go on, it gets progressively worse. But this gets progressively better to the point where I gave the third season a 10 out of 10, 5 stars. But then the manga obviously keeps going, not that much longer, but several arcs. And then the studio ran out of money, folded, bankrupt. The rights were kind of stuck with them. It was in this weird purgatory place. So I don't think there will ever be a fourth season onwards. And it's also so much like ages ago. But hey, last couple of months, that logic of, oh, hey, this series came out ages ago does not apply anymore.
Yeah. I think, you know, when it comes to like remasters, like fixing a series that could have been great, but you know, one way or another, it didn't turn out good. That in itself is a whole different topic, right? Like, for example, like if I was, this is a really heavy question to ask, especially as we're wrapping up this episode.
Oh shit! Okay,
you probably know where I'm going with this.
No, I do not know. Here,
okay,
we go.
But do you ever think there's going to be a faithful adaptation of Berserk? I am asking you this now. Yes. Because there's been 2 adaptations, one of which was okay, apparently. The other one, which was definitely not okay. Do you think it's possible that there'd be a good adaptation of Berserk? For the listeners, Berserk is one of the most storied franchises within the manga world, and that is a wonderful, expansive, dark fantasy world.
Work of art. Like, the artwork is phenomenal, like legitimately, like if I were to put it on a poster in my room, it would look gorgeous.
Like you wonder why like certain shows, certain mangas have like hiatuses, like breaks and all that, and then when you look at the art that is Berserk, you understand why the artist needs a break. It's fucking phenomenal.
No, there won't be a good anime adaptation of Berserk.
I wouldn't expect any different in terms of like an answer. Like the optimist in me would be like, there must be some way to replicate the craziness and the detailed artwork of Berserk.
I think
onto your screen.
I think what you just said there, detailed artwork of Berserk, is the problem.
Like it's kind of like
not the problem. I want to reiterate. Sorry. Not the problem. But it is precisely that reason.
It's the challenge, right?
It is, that challenge is insurmountable. And I'm not trying to like put it out there so someone will take on it. People have tried and have failed.
It's like there's like certain video games that came out in the 90s and early 2000s where like it had that certain mystique and that sort of like really gritty, like atmospheric sort of environment because of the fact that it was using technology at the time. And then when people started remastering it, thinking, oh, you know what? You liked it back then? You like it now? No, we don't. After you remastered it, it looked like shit.
There's not even like a nostalgic factor. It's just it's just too intricate of the art. It's too intricate. I don't think the storyline is anything groundbreaking, but yeah.
But do you think as well then, right? Like, based on that then, like, Berserk doesn't necessarily need an anime or any sort of adaptation to continue to be well-received?
To be honest, I want one, but I don't want one. As in, I wish that someone will do good by it, but I don't think it's possible, so...
It's kind of like you don't want to meet your heroes, right? It's like you want to just maintain that wonderful image of something. And like, if it ever did come to the point where like you did see it, it's like, oh, I've always wanted an anime, but like maybe I don't.
Look,
maybe you do see it.
I'd rather be pleasantly surprised than pleasantly disappointed, but I've been disappointed several times already. I don't think I have any fight left in me.
I mean, that second adaptation of Berserk was atrocious. Sorry, there was no adaptation. It never existed. It's forever erased from my memories. What are we talking about again?
Adapting anime is great, guys.
Yeah.
So that is the end of our episode.
It's a tough task, and you know, obviously it's the format that most of us, you know, affiliate ourselves with the most, right? We like watching shows. It's an easy way of consuming a property. Reading can be tough.
Actually, reading can be easy too.
Depending on what you're reading.
Right.
Like, for example, like Honey and Clover, one of my favorite series of all time. Watching it as a kid was great. Then I managed to get my hands on, like, the first volume. Holy fuck.
Okay.
It is so much reading.
I wasn't going to mention that because Inspector, for example, is a manga that has an anime adaptation, has a second season that was announced that's coming out this year.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Inspector, second season. And I read the manga. I really liked the manga. It is full of words, so full of words, and it is good, but if you were to tell me this is going to get adapted into an anime, similar to High Rise Invasion, I would have been like, there's so much thought, and it, I mean, with High Rise, it's just quick, kinetic, instinctual thoughts, but in Inspector, it is hardcore theory, manipulation, trying to figure like a solution out of nothing. It is impossible to have that kind of internal monologue in an anime and have it be captivating to the viewer. Because, okay, look, I'm not like one to speak. I've never adapted anime before. But look, the anime that I watched of Inspector was not engaging. The manga was engaging, but it was like a wall of text.
But it's hard, though, right? It's kind of like...
Dude, anime... Okay.
I don't want to use the example, but like Harry Potter. And reading the books, and then watching the movie was just like two completely different things. Because what you, like you said, right? When you're processing that whole wall of text, and you have your own way of interpreting certain characters...
And you
certain
can flip
scenes,
back and forth with the manga.
This is why, like, for me, like, to this day, I have read... The Shining many times, but I have yet to watch the movie because I don't want to ruin my own personal image of what
I've done
Shining
the polar
is.
Opposite. I love the movie and I have not read the Stephen King.
Well, there you go. We have our own ways of consuming things. But in the end, right? Like, if it's good, it's good. That's the main thing.
Hey, Will, adapting anime is hard, right? It's just hard.
Yep.
So regardless, we commend the adaptation process, but just because you adapt something doesn't necessarily mean it translates one for one in terms of its success. Doesn't mean that the source material to the quote-unquote final form of anime is a surefired hit, or that the fact that because the format is different, the medium is different, you then utilize all the aspects of the anime audio-visual components to its full potential.
It's not quite the message we want to send to people, where it's like, hey, if it's good enough, it's good enough. We're not saying don't be better. It's just sometimes if you know you got something good and it's working, maybe not fuck around with it.
Yeah. Don't fuck around.
Yeah, just don't fuck around. That's literally it. So, yeah, whatever you're watching, appreciate it to the best of its ability. If you feel like you want to, you know, look into it from a different perspective, maybe pick up the manga. Or if you like reading, light novels are an option too. Visual novels, hey, if you got the time for it, go for it.
Hey, you can always just let us know.
Yeah, Like, we know there are people who like certain mediums. We're not going to tell you to change. We're not going to tell you to go a certain way.
We will judge you, though, but...
We will, silently.
Silently.
Yes. But, you know, whatever we say here, you know, it's God's words.
It's gospel.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's written on the tomes, right? You know?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God, I caught myself saying Jesus.
Yeah. Kami-san told us this.
Yo, Kami-sama. Okay, all right. So, a little bit of housekeeping. If you want to reach us, you can contact us through email, gapalette@gmail.com. That's gapalette@gmail.com. You can contact us on Twitter with @palettegood. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/palettegood. You can visit our website, www.goodanimepalette.com. You can even join us on Discord. Please join us on Discord. We would love to get a bunch of you guys on there. So then you can either check out what we've been watching, or even watch stuff together, discuss things, have comments, feedback, anything, good, bad. We just want to hear stuff.
Or you can even let us know something that you've been watching you think we need to get on.
Yeah. And right?
There's only so much time in the day that we aren't able to cover everything.
Or we just can't see everything. So if you sometimes tell us what is good, what is not, or what works for you, we might check that out too. Yeah, so music credits. Our intro music is Green Lights by Jazar. Our break music is Min 2019 by Minibu. Our outro music is What You Thinkin', the instrumental version by Wataboy. You can find our intro music at the freemusicarchive.org. And you can find our break and outro music at pixabay.com. So, Will, what's next on the docket? What's next?
Well... What we should do is go home, look through my anime lists.
I knew you were going to say this.
And maybe find ways to screw each other over, because I'm still not quite over you burning me with, you know, watching Demon Slayer.
Okay. Real talk, live, not live on air, but you know what I mean. Like, this feud is going to continue, right? This warfare is going to continue, right?
This is war, dude.
Okay, God, okay.
There will be blood.
Okay. Can we just establish before we end the episode? Can we just establish like some sort of ground rules, which is, let's not go too far in terms of the quantity. Let's just say that.
Hey, you're the one who went off and watched three properties.
Well, I had to make up for it, but now I'm willing to play somewhat fair. Oh God, the look on your face was just like, yeah, I'm not gonna take that bullshit.
Bring it on, bitch.
Oh fuck off. Okay, we're landing. Okay. God.
Oh, this is going to be fun. There's going to be so many casualties along the way, but hey, in the name
don't
of
worry.
Anime, in the name of anime.
In the name of anime and manga, don't worry. You don't have to suffer. In fact, we hope that you will enjoy watching us squirm. I think that's the best way, right? The only way, really.
Yeah, sometimes pain is pleasure, right?
And pleasure is pain.
Yeah, I mean,
one man's trash is another man's treasure. One man's pain is another man's pleasure.
One person's ticket stub is another person's missed opportunity to watch one of the greatest anime movies of all time.
Hey, I'll watch it with you again, 100%. It's showing, 100%.
We'll figure it out. Let's see how we are after this episode.
We will watch Ghost in the Shell.
That's true. Okay, fine. Friendship's still intact.
Okay, cool. All right.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us, as always. This has been William. Jason on my right or my left. You don't know. We have no video output. You can't see what's going on here.
We will have another After Dark coming soon.
Yeah, we'll be recording a few more episodes. We're going to be keeping busy this month.
Definitely.
Yeah, so we hope to, you know, bring some new content. Join us for the next episode, and we'll catch you soon.
See ya.